Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. A Monetary History of the United States, 1867 to 1960, is a foundational work in economic history and monetary economics by Milton Friedman and Anna Schwartz, first published in 1963. It examines nearly a century of American monetary experience to show how changes in the money supply shaped output, prices, banking stability, and major business cycle movements. The book is not a general narrative history. It is a data-driven analysis of monetary regimes, central banking, and financial disturbances in the United States from the post-Civil War period through the early post-war era. Its most famous contribution is the argument that monetary policy played a decisive role in the severity of the Great Depression, especially through the failure to prevent the collapse of the banking system and the contraction of money in the early 1930s. Because of its scale, evidence, and policy implications, the book became one of the most influential texts in 20th century economics. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the book links money supply changes to economic fluctuations. The central argument of the book is that monetary developments are not secondary details in economic history, but powerful forces that shape real economic performance. Friedman and Schwartz use long-run historical data to show that changes in the money supply were closely associated with changes in output, prices, and broader business conditions. Their approach challenged theories that treated money as important only for inflation or as a passive reflection of deeper real forces. Instead, they argued that monetary contraction can deepen downturns and that monetary expansion can support recovery, at least in the short run. This matters because it turns monetary policy into a core explanatory tool for understanding recessions and recoveries rather than a narrow technical concern. The book also helped establish the monetarist view that stable monetary growth is essential for macroeconomic stability. In that sense, it is both an empirical history and a theoretical intervention, using historical episodes to defend a general principle about how modern economies work. Secondly, the Great Depression as a failure of monetary and banking policy. One of the book's most famous sections is its analysis of the Great Depression, especially the chapter on the Great Contraction from 1929 to 1933. Friedman and Schwartz argued that the Depression became so severe not simply because the economy was weak, but because the money stock collapsed alongside a wave of bank failures. They contended that the Federal Reserve had the capacity to respond more forcefully, especially by acting as lender of last resort and by preventing panic-driven declines in the banking system. Instead, the Fed allowed the contraction to continue, which magnified deflation and reduced spending across the economy. This interpretation was influential because it shifted attention away from explanations that focused primarily on structural weakness or unavoidable market collapse. It also gave the Depression a policy lesson central banks matter most when the financial system is under stress. The chapter remains important because it connects institutional failure, bank instability, and macroeconomic collapse in a single explanatory framework that has shaped later debates about crisis management. Thirdly, a historical method built on monetary data rather than abstract theory alone, the book stands out for its method as much as for its conclusions. Friedman and Schwartz assembled a large historical record of monetary, banking, and economic indicators and used that evidence to test claims about causality. Rather than relying only on model-based reasoning, they reconstructed monetary episodes across decades and compared changes in money supply with movements in income, prices, and banking conditions. This gave the work unusual force because it was grounded in documented historical patterns, not just theoretical assertion. At the same time, the method has a distinctive interpretation. It treats monetary history as a sequence of policy regimes, banking disturbances, and institutional responses that can be read for lessons about economic stability. The book is therefore an example of empirical economic history used to change macroeconomic theory. Its influence comes partly from showing that careful archival and statistical work can alter the way economists interpret major events. Even readers who disagree with every conclusion often recognize the book as a model of how historical evidence can be mobilized in economic argument. Fourthly, the role of the Federal Reserve and the problem of central bank responsibility. Another major theme is the relationship between the Federal Reserve and monetary instability. The book does not treat the Fed as a neutral background institution. It presents the central bank as a decisive actor whose choices can either stabilize or destabilize the economy. Friedman and Schwartz argue that when the Fed failed to offset banking panics, permit enough liquidity, or respond decisively to falling money supply, it helped turn disturbances into deeper downturns. This institutional focus makes the book especially important for understanding the modern central bank as a manager of liquidity and systemic confidence. It also helped define later debates over whether central banks should prioritize price stability, output stabilization, or financial system support. The book's argument implies that monetary authorities cannot excuse themselves by claiming that economic contractions are purely market-driven. Their inaction may be as important as their action. That lesson has had lasting relevance for policy discussions, especially during periods of financial stress, because it frames central banking as a responsibility to prevent cumulative collapse rather than merely to observe macroeconomic trends. Lastly, why the book became a landmark of monetarist economics. The book is not only an interpretation of U.S. monetary history, it is also a defining statement of monetarism. Its broader claim is that the money supply has systematic effects on both nominal outcomes such as prices and short-run real outcomes such as output and employment. That position challenged competing approaches that gave larger roles to fiscal policy, real shocks, or purely structural explanations of depressions and recessions. The result was a major reorientation in macroeconomic thinking, especially in the second half of the 20th century. The book became influential because it offered a coherent historical narrative, a policy warning, and a general theory all at once. It also gave later economists a benchmark for studying the transmission of monetary shocks and the role of financial institutions in propagating crises. Even when scholars criticize parts of the interpretation, they continue to engage with the framework because the book set the terms of debate. Its enduring importance lies in the way it transformed an economic history into a durable argument about how central banks should operate. In conclusion, readers who care about monetary policy, the Great Depression, central banking, or the history of American capitalism will find this book especially valuable. It is best suited to economists, students of economic history, policy professionals, and general readers who want a serious explanation of why money and banking matter for the broader economy. The practical benefit of the book is that it clarifies how monetary contraction, banking panic, and policy hesitation can turn a serious downturn into a prolonged disaster. The intellectual benefit is even broader. It shows how careful historical evidence can reshape macroeconomic theory and public policy. What distinguishes this book from many other economics books is that it combines archival depth, statistical analysis, and a clear policy conclusion in a single work. It is not a simplified account of the Great Depression, nor is it a purely theoretical treatise. Instead, it is a historically grounded argument that helped redefine how economists think about the role of money, the responsibilities of central banks, and the causes of economic instability. That combination explains why it remains a landmark text decades after publication. If you would like to support Milton Friedman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.